This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Easy, right? I mean, this is one that we have all got a good handle on today. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse us. Pray for those who mistreat us. These teachings are much, much easier said than done. Which is why I'm so grateful that this scripture lesson from Luke is paired with our scripture lesson from Genesis for today. In our Hebrew Bible lesson, we hear part of the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph was his father Jacob's favorite son, one of 12 brothers, and the child of his father's favorite wife, Rachel. But Joseph was different from his brothers. He had different gifts. He was a dreamer. And through faith and trust in God, he learned to interpret his dreams. I imagine that for his brothers, this ability of dreaming, it felt like Joseph always had his head firmly in the clouds, while their feet were firmly planted in the real world, working hard to farm and to shepherd their flocks, tending to their families, to their people, to their father's people, in very tangible ways. I am sure that there were days when these brothers felt like the standards were different. They were expected to work hard. Joseph was indulged in his dreaming. Joseph was different from his brothers, and their father loved him best. And eventually, his brothers grew to hate Joseph, to despise the special place that Joseph held in their father's heart. They grew to resent Joseph's gifts and the way that his dreams always seemed to belittle them while lifting Joseph high above. The other sons of Jacob began to see themselves not as brothers of Joseph, but enemies. They hated and they cursed Joseph. And then they mistreated him. The opportunity came to get rid of this favored dreamer. The brothers conspired to kill Joseph. They wanted to beat him to death and claim that a wild animal had devoured him. But the eldest, Reuben, he would not kill his brother. So he convinced the others to throw Joseph into a pit instead, planning to later return and try to rescue Joseph. But for the other brothers, it was not enough to throw Joseph into a pit. When Reuben left them alone, they conspired again. Stopped from killing Joseph, from murdering their brother, they hoped to profit financially. So they sold Joseph into slavery. And the price of their brother's life was 20 pieces of silver. These sons of Jacob, these brothers of Joseph, filled with hatred and resentment and jealousy, they made themselves into enemies of their brother, hating, cursing, and mistreating their brother Joseph to the point of plotting to murder him, but settling for selling him into slavery. So, how on earth does Joseph manage to forgive, and not just forgive, but reconcile with these brothers who wanted to murder him, but settled for selling him into slavery? How does Joseph forgive? Well, after this betrayal, Joseph is sold to Potiphar, the captain of the guard in Egypt. And in Egypt, Joseph experiences many things. He's trusted and beloved. He's betrayed again and imprisoned. And Joseph heals. Now this healing, it does not happen overnight. It occurs over the span of 20 plus years. Joseph is 17 when his brothers sell him into slavery, and he's at least 37 when he sees them again for the first time, and 39 in the text we read today. At least 20 years have passed. And over the course of these 20 plus years, Joseph does two significant things. He focuses on his relationship with God, and he finds purpose in serving his community. Joseph focuses on God. He has a God-given gift, this interpretation of dreams. And Joseph, in this span of time, he learns to really find value in that gift. He learns to find value in himself through the gift God gave him and through the love that God has for him. Over the span of these 20 years, Joseph learns to trust and to value the gift that God gives him. And he learns to rely on this gift of dream interpretation. So that rather than hiding what makes him different, what maybe incited his brothers to act and mistreat him, Joseph finds value in what makes him unique. And in doing so, I think that Joseph discovers. He discovers that his self-worth, it comes not from the validation of his brothers, not from the validation of the people who harmed him. His self-worth comes from God, the God who loves him, the God who gave him gifts and made him the unique person that he was, and the God who calls him to purpose. Joseph discovered that his value, his self-worth, doesn't rely on the people who harmed him. It relies on God and his relationship with this God of love. And so Joseph, in these 20 years, he takes one very important step towards healing. He learns to trust in his God-given gifts, and he learns to nurture his relationship with God, putting that relationship first before any other in this world. His value is not defined by his brothers. His value is defined by the love of God. I think that one of the most important steps in healing is trusting our relationship with God, trusting that our value, none of our values, are defined by the people who hurt us. It's not even defined by the people around us. Our value comes from the love of God, and there is no enemy, there is no bully, there is no betrayal that can take that love away from us. Joseph learns to find value in himself through the gifts and love of God. He nurtures his relationship with God above all else. And he builds new relationships in his community. Joseph is in a new place, surrounded by new people. And he finds that he can use his God-given gift to help the people around him. Joseph discovers that God has given him a purpose and the gifts to answer this calling. So rather than focusing on the harm and the betrayal that was done to him, rather than letting this betrayal define him, rather than dedicating every thought and every energy to the relationships that hurt him, Joseph focuses on serving his community, and he builds new relationships that give him new life. In finding his purpose, Joseph, he learns to see beyond himself to his community. And this helps him to heal, to create new relationships that are life-giving. Now, this is not to say that Joseph forgets what was done to him. He doesn't. But he does learn to see beyond his suffering by focusing on helping others. Joseph takes two very important steps in the process of healing. Focuses on his relationship with God, and he finds purpose beyond himself, purpose in community. And then when he meets his brothers again, wow, he is able to love his enemies. He is able to do good to those who have hated him. He is able to bless those who cursed him. He's able to pray for those who mistreated him. My siblings, what Jesus calls us to in Luke, it may be easier said than done, but it can be done. If Joseph can forgive the brothers who sought to kill him, we can forgive the people who wrong us. Now, I don't think that this is always an easy thing to do. Make no mistake, it is not. Joseph takes 20 plus years in his journey of healing and forgiveness. It doesn't happen because we will it into existence. Forgiveness and healing is a journey, and it takes dedication every day. It's not an easy thing to do, but it is also not an impossible thing to do. The forgiveness that Jesus speaks of is possible through healing. It is possible to forgive even the worst of our enemies, even the most painful hatred and mistreatment. It is possible when we find purpose in serving others so that we are drawn beyond our pain to nurture healing and life, not just in ourselves, but in our community, so we can find meaning in new relationships. It is possible to forgive when we rely on God, when we trust that our value comes not from those who hurt us. Our value comes from God, the God who loves us. It is possible to forgive, even in the miraculous, astounding way that Jesus describes. It's possible to heal in community and with God's love. Amen.